This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. فالحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين ثم أما بعد. Once again everybody, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today the intention is to give you guys a complete overview of the ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah that are from ayah number 40 all the way to ayah number 122 that deal with Banu Israel, the children of Israel. And the intention behind this particular session is to show you how everything in this section, in this long section, that isn't chronologically ordered, clearly. There's a lot of history of the Jewish community, the Israelites here, but it's not in chronological order. And it seems to also switch over to a conversation with the Muslim community, like, أَفَتَطْمَعُونَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا لَكُمْ. Are you hopeful that they'll accept what you're saying? So Allah is talking about the historical Jews, and all of a sudden He starts talking about the Jews that are living in Medina also. So there's a switch timeline-wise between the historical and the contemporary when the Qur'an was being revealed. How is all of this organized at the end of the day? When you look at the bigger picture, there is actually a method, a structure to all of it. And this structure and this nizam, really, this order, is important to understand because it gives you an appreciation of the larger point being made by Allah Azza wa Jal. And then that helps you understand the placement of this entire passage or this series of passages in the surah. And this is an important kind of study because, you know, in any book that you read, because Qur'an is two things, right? It's Qur'an, it's recited, which means you could recite one ayah, two ayat, and you'll get something out of it. Or it's a kitab. And a kitab, Allah calls it kitab also. And when you call it kitab, any book, you don't just read one sentence or two sentences and you say, I think I understand. You have to understand the larger context. And that's what we're going to try to do, inshallah. So to get started, the first thing I'd like to give you is a kind of visual framework. And that is that what I want to embed in your minds is that this section that's 82 ayat from ayah number 40 all the way to 122 is made up of 19 sections. So that's quite a few sections, right? And how do you kind of make a mental map of these 19 sections? Well, the way to do that is rather easy. If you look at this diagram that I've made, this is actually a visual representation of the 19 sections that are in the surah. You'll notice this is, you don't have to count. There are 19 boxes there. Okay. But there are three of them that are red. Okay, so what happens in the surah is that you have an introductory passage on the Israelites. يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي نَعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَوْفُ بِعَهْدِي أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ. And that passage, that's that first passage, it begins and ends with the same call. Actually, the ayah that concludes is also يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي نَعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Right? So that entire passage is the introductory. The Israelites are being called, accept this revelation. That's in red, because that's where the thing starts. When you travel all the way to the end, what would I say was the last ayah of this discussion? Ayah number 122. You find exactly the same narrative once again. يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. You find the repetition. And in a sense, it is reminding you of where this conversation began. So, and those are the ayat that we haven't covered in our durus yet. We will today, inshallah ta'ala, in the next session. But for now, what I want to highlight first and foremost is where this conversation began is actually exactly where this conversation is coming to an end. And it's bringing it to a close, and it's adding some things that weren't said before to complete the subject. This is Allah's way of doing itmam al-hujjah, right? He completes his case by mentioning something in the beginning, leaving some things, and then completing them way at the end. And that leaves the middle, right? So I've given you a beginning and an end, and I've highlighted in this diagram sort of a middle. That middle I'll leave as a mystery for now, you know, what that's talking about, but inshallah we'll come back to it, and then I'll share with you why that's so important, why that constitutes the middle. But in any case, if you take, how many sections did I say there were? 19. And I've taken three of them out, the beginning, the middle, and the end. I've taken those out. How many left? There's 16 left, right? And so what happens with these 16 is, 7 of them are on one side, and 9 of them are on the other side. So these whites that you see, there's 7 boxes on this side and 9 on the other side. And you'll see, why isn't it 8 and 8? Why isn't it just evened out? Well, there's a reason for that too. They're actually organized a certain way where these 7 come together and later on the other 9 come together. Okay? So let's talk a little bit about that. So this is the overview, and we're going to dig a little bit into that first section. If you keep moving two slides ahead. So now we are in that first group of seven passages. Three we've already taken out, introduction, middle, end. We're in this first group of seven passages. The first of them, if you tap, is the Fir'aun. إِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ فَفِذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. Allah tells the Israelites, He rescued you from the Pharaoh. You were basically going to die. There was no way for you to escape. He was going to kill every single one of you. But Allah opened the water and you were able to escape and He killed your enemy. Even if, by the way, if you just escaped and He didn't die, He would have found a way to cross the water and kill you anyway. So not only did He help you cross the water, He killed your enemy too. He drowned your enemy as well. Right? So there's two parts to the favor. One is that He rescued them. Two is He killed their executor. You know, the one that was coming after them and trying to kill them. I'll move along rather quickly. In the next passage, Allah talks about the fact that you made it all the way across into the desert. And when Musa left you for a little while, you started worshipping the calf. And you know, ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْعِجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. You started worshipping the calf as soon as he left. Not much after him, and you were the ones doing wrong. How could you do this after Allah had rescued you in this way? So that's the second discussion that comes up, followed by a long discussion. And this discussion is made up of time and time again, Allah gave them instructions. Allah said, enter into this town. When you enter in a state of sajda. Allah told them, Musa alayhi salam came and told them, Allah is telling you slaughter a cow. One thing after another. Ahkam came from Allah, which I call the Old Covenant, meaning the Hebrew Bible, the instructions from Musa alayhi salam, one after the other, they were told, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And they kept violating that one after the other, after the other, after the other. And it culminates in the story of the cow. So there are multiple violations in the Old Covenant, and the worst of them, Allah mentions, when they made not only did they not obey, but they made a mockery out of Musa alayhi salam and the instructions also, right? And as soon as that happens, Allah mentions this really profound ayah. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. Very interesting parable. I'll make some reference to it, tell you some things about it. Allah says, your hearts became hard even worse than stone. That's what He says to them. Now let's go back for a second. First He called I'm skipping the introductory passage and the concluding passage, right? So I'm starting with number two. At number two, you know, the Pharaoh came in, you know, and He rescued you from the Pharaoh. You ended up worshipping the calf instead of worshipping Allah who rescued you. You violated multiple instructions. And after doing all of these crimes, and instead of being grateful and seeking Allah's forgiveness, by the way, those are the two things keep coming up over and over again. One, they have to be grateful. Grateful for things like, you know, escaping the Pharaoh. Grateful for things like the cloud hovering above their head. Or manna and salwa. They have to be grateful for those things. And two, they have to seek forgiveness for disobeying Allah. Those are the two things that keep coming up. As a matter of fact, they're even the two things that come up in the very beginning. يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِي الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Mention the favor I did to you. When you mention the favor, what are you being? Grateful. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. Be afraid of a day when nobody will benefit anybody else. Meaning seek forgiveness. So there's this gratitude and forgiveness that come from the very beginning. Anyway, Allah says, and by the way, what kind of person will seek gratitude? Someone who has a heart. لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. Who will seek forgiveness? Who feels bad in their heart. But Allah describes their heart. And what does He say if you go to the next one, Fawzi? ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Your hearts became hard. They even became worse than stone. And then, interestingly, Allah describes three kinds of stones. Like, they're worse than stone, but there are three kinds of stones. In other words, there are three kinds of hearts. And I just want to highlight one of them, which I put in the title here, Stones Fall, the last of them. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Among the stones, there are those that fall out of the fear of Allah. By the way, you have to understand, stones are being compared to hearts. That's the comparison in this ayah. And when a stone falls from the fear of Allah, Allah is describing a heart falling out of the fear of Allah. And a heart falling out of the fear of Allah is the image of sajda. Because when we fall into sajda, what are we doing? We're falling out of the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what that is, okay? Now, from there, Allah mentions in another passage, this is rather long also, from 75 to 91. Allah Azza wa Jal says, they're not going to accept the Qur'an. Why do you think they'll accept the Qur'an? They didn't even accept their own book. In other words, previously the argument made, well, I gave you multiple instructions through Musa, you didn't even follow those. Then the Muslims of Medina are being told, by the way, these Israelites, they're not going to have any courtesy to the Quran. They didn't even have courtesy to the old covenant. Forget this new one, not even to the old one. You know, وَقَدْ كَانَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُحَرِّفُونَهُ مِّنْ بَعْدِ مَا عَقَلُوهُ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They used to hear the speech of Allah and change it knowingly. So you think they're just going to accept what you're saying? That point is made very emphatically in these ayat. Followed by, he takes them back. When they say, no, we don't have to believe what you have. We already have something we believe in. Allah says, really? You have iman? Aren't you the people who worship the calf? What kind of iman is this? So he brings up the calf again. And then at the end of this discussion, he says, these people, their problem is they love this life too much. They have no concern of the akhirah. They wish, each of them wishes, they could live 1,000 years. يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرْ أَلْفَ سَنَةً وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَنْ يُعَمَّرْ. None of them will escape the punishment of death, you know, and the onslaught of death, no matter how long they get to live. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Now if you look at this entire group, 7, if you count the boxes, there are 7 of them. Something incredible is happening. On the one hand, they escaped the Pharaoh because they were about to be killed, you remember? If you look right across at the very end, they are afraid of dying, and they wish they could live 1,000 years. The second discussion was, they worship the calf. And the second last discussion is also, they worship the calf. On the third end here, there's the old covenant, the instructions Allah gave to the Israelites that they failed to follow. On the flip side of it, Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving them instruction, telling the Muslims they're not going to follow the Quran because they didn't follow their own. So the arguments are actually entirely symmetrical. And what's the heart of the whole thing? The pun intended, the hearts became hard. That's the real reason all of this happened. The real reason all of this occurred is because their hearts turned into stone, or even worse than stone. You with me so far? That is group one. So now let me take you back, just to help you visualize where we are once again. So that was the group I just covered. And that's the whole thing. If the next slide, that's the whole picture, right? That's the entire thing. And now I'm going to take you to the second group. Remember, I'm skipping beginning, middle, and end. I already talked about those, right? So I'm just going group one and group two. So let's do the overview of group two. The first thing that comes up here in a couple of ayat, 104 to 106, is that they make fun. They first of all, they doubt revelation. They say, how come no miracles come to us? How come we don't see it? I mean, we don't see the angel coming. Why should we accept it? And on top of that, they make fun of this revelation. They make a mockery out of this revelation. That's happening in 104 to 106. Then Allah Azza wa Jal reminds them, you're not just making a mockery out of revelation, you're making a mockery out of Allah. Allah, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. Don't make a mockery out of Allah. So Allah reminds them of His power. Then He says, are you questioning your messenger the way Musa was before? You people disrespected Musa. أَمْ تُرِدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلٍ. Are you going to disrespect your messenger, challenge him and question him the way Musa was before? This is you replacing your faith with your disbelief. And then the conversation goes on and Allah describes how defiant they are. On the one hand, they're being asked to accept this revelation. They give their ultimate reason. They say, we don't have to accept Quran. Nobody's going to Jannah except Jews and Christians anyway. لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. They just came out and said it. So that's the progression of the conversation. I'll take you to the middle. Allah says, no, you've got that wrong. تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. You think Jews and Christians are the only ones going to Jannah? These are your wishful thoughts. Bring your evidences. بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ. Whoever submits his face to Allah and excels, فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. He's the one that gets compensation with his master. There's no fear and no grief for them. When you submit your face to Allah, what is that an image of? Submitting your face to Allah. Sujood. Does that remind you of anything? The middle of the previous group was what? Rocks falling. And the rocks were a reminder of what? The hearts falling, which was sujood. And now the one who submits his face, which is also what? Sujood, once again, subhanallah. Then on the flip side, as the conversation continues, Allah says, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ لَيْسَتِ النَّصَارَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَ لَيْسَتِ الْيَهُودُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَهُمْ يَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. Jews come out and say, Christians have no basis, they're completely wrong. And then the Christians come out and say, Jews have no basis, they're completely wrong. In other words, previously when they ganged up against the Muslims, they said, the only people going to heaven are Jews and Christians. But later on, they even invalidate each other. They end up contradicting and conflicting with each other. Allah then says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا. Who could be worse than a person that corrupts masajid, basically. Keeps Allah's name from being mentioned in the houses of Allah. And tries to corrupt them and disrupt them, distort them. This is actually what we talked about in our last dars. It's two things. It's the mushrikun putting idols around the Kaaba, and it's the Yahud who turned the masjid, the synagogue which they call now, the masjid into a place for their politics. It wasn't a place to worship Allah anymore. It was a power struggle, who's going to be leading, who's going to be in charge. Because for them, religion and politics became inseparable. So the masjid became a political place for them, right? So Allah says, that's also not mentioning Allah's name. So there's two kinds of corruption, one done by the Jews and Christians and the other done by the mushrikun. Then Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. And He says, بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Allah is the unique one that created the skies and the earth. He doesn't take a son. He mentions His tawheed. He mentions how unique He is and how He created everything. And He reminds them of Allah's power. In other words, you can desecrate Allah's masjid. You think Allah doesn't have the power to restore His masajid? Who do you think you're messing with? You know? And then from there, the conversation ensues, and Allah mentions, yet again, doubts they have about the Qur'an. And again, then Allah mentions that they're stubborn, they won't change their ways. You know, لَن تَبْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودِ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. They're not going to be happy. They're just going to be stuck in their ways until you follow their religion, etc. So now if you look at the second group, once again, an incredible symmetry has taken place. The first passage was about their doubts and their mockery. And if you look across, the last one is also about their doubts and their stubbornness. Here on this side, the second group of ayat was about Allah's power. And the second last group is about Allah's oneness. Because both of them are important to internalize. On the one hand, the messengers are being disrespected and disregarded. And on the other hand, the masajid are being disrespected and disregarded. On the one hand, Jews and Christians come together against you. And on the other hand, the Jews and Christians invalidate each other. They nullify each other. And what's left in the middle is the only positive passage. And the only positive passage is, you need to be those who submit your faces to Allah. بَلَا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْسَنُونَ. So if we move on once again and go back to the overview, I gave you there's a beginning, there's an end. I didn't talk about the middle on purpose. And I kind of gave you the one group on the left side and the other group on the right side, right? I just want to highlight for a second the two middles in the next slide. There's two middles, just those two boxes. What were they? The rocks fall from the fear of Allah. That was on the one side. And then people submit their face, which means they fall into sajda for the fear of Allah. So what seems to be the heart of the matter in both cases? Sajda is directly related to the call of Islam. Sajda is one of the primary invitations to the Yahud. It's one of the fundamental da'wah to the Yahud is sajda. Why is that important? You know? Because they stop doing sajda. If you ever see them pray, they go like half ruku. It's not even ruku. That's why Allah says, وَرْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Because they don't even go into ruku all the way. Right? Sajda is out of the question. But sajda is also really important for another reason. This entire discussion about the Israelites is the second historical discussion in Surah Al-Baqarah. The first one was Adam alayhi salam and Iblis. That was first, and then this passage came. And in that passage, what is Iblis's biggest problem? Sajda. Refusal to do sajda. And now Allah is saying to Israelites, you have exactly the same problem. You're not falling into sajda, which means you are following the way of Iblis. It's so incredible that Allah puts this argument together in such divine architecture. And then I want to share with you the middle of everything. The thing I skipped. Allah says, قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلِ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Tell them whoever wants to be an enemy to Jibreel, and then later on in that same passage, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلِ وَمِكَالِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Whoever wants to be an enemy to Allah and His angels and to Jibreel and to Mikal, then Allah is an enemy to those who disbelieve. In other words, Allah is saying, this behavior, you have become an enemy to who? You are standing against who? The angels. You stand against the angels. And in that same passage, Allah says, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَىٰ مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانَ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. They followed what the shayateen were teaching them. They've become enemies to the angels, and they've become friends with who? Shayateen. They don't follow, and the angels under Jibreel, muta'in thamma amin, under Jibreel, Jibreel brings revelation. And you follow revelation and you are friends and your awliya are actually malaika also. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah will tell us. The angels come and tell us, we are your protective friends in this life and in the next life. When you follow what the angel brought down, Jibreel brought down, then the angels are your friends. When you reject what the angel brought down, who are you following? Shaitan. And they started, you know, learning magic and all this other nonsense. They started doing kufr. Open. And by the way, they did it knowingly. Knowingly they did it. They knew that this is not revelation. They knew that it's from Shaitan. They still did it anyway. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. They already knew the one who consumes this is not going to have any portion of akhirah. They still did it anyway. So what's interesting about this middle is there's a comment being made about the Israelites. A good number of you became enemies to the angels and friends with shayateen. What was the first story in this surah? Adam alayhi salam's story. Adam alayhi salam's story is a contrast between which two groups? Angels and shayateen. And now, and we, of course, we side with the angels because they submitted to Allah. And we stand against Shaitan because he refused Allah's command and he refused to do sajda. And now Allah is telling them in a demonstrated case, now you see where you stand? You see where you are? SubhanAllah. I'm just baffled at how Allah Azza wa Jalla does this. And then in this middle, you learn something else. It's not just that they're enemies to angels. They're enemy to Jibreel first. They're enemies of Jibreel first. Why is that important to note? That's important to note because Jibreel alayhi salam is the one who brings wahi. Adam alayhi salam was told, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُم مِّنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْسَنُونَ. Listen, I'm sending you to the earth. Whoever follows my guidance, there will be no concern. They'll have no concern, no fears. And nothing to worry about. Meaning when Jibreel comes, you better take him seriously. Right? They're actually denying that promise that was made to Adam alayhi salam. Not just their own legacy as Israelites, but even the promise made with Adam alayhi salam. So that's the beginning, middle, and end of this incredible passage of the Israelites. And what it does is it ties the entire discussion to the previous story, the story of Adam alayhi salam, in such a beautiful way that you're just left baffled. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayat wa dhikr al-Hakim.